Hello, hello. Here we are again, coming to you from Broadcast Team Alpha on 44 different platforms around the world. And we're going to have some really interesting discussion here, historical, and some of it revision history. So just stay with us. This one's going to get good. First, I also want to say that if you want to get in touch with myself and Nori here on the Broadcast Team Alpha and the Paranormal Show under the umbrella of Broadcast Team Alpha, just go to broadcastteamalpha.com and send us a message and we'll get back to you. And we are also transmitting on, Conscious Awakening Network. And folks, you got to go over there and have a look because they have a lot of shows, probably close to 50 by now. And these shows are on all the subjects that we want to know about. So go to br the Conscious Awakening Network.org and have a look. And tonight and today, this afternoon, this morning, wherever you are around the world, stay with us for the next hour because this is going to be something. The discussion may even change your life because there are some facts in here that affects the people, the higher conscious thinking people out there. Because I have Barry Strom with us. He's an author. He's also a show host. He's on YouTube and many different places. And we are going to talk about the Shroud of Turin. There is much controversy around that thing, but it's coming together now. There is coming some substance out of the confusion. And a lot of the confusion comes from religion. And here, welcome to the show, Barry.
Oh, thank you for having me back. I was looking forward to it.
The Shroud of Turin has been around a long time. I seem to remember it was discovered about 1350 or 54 or something like that, and it was stuck in a wall somewhere. It was in a in an enclosure, but we don't they didn't at that time at least know where it came from. And you have researched this, and you also have a source for information that very few other people have, and we really want to hear about this.
Well, the Shroud of Turin is the one object that God left behind to show as proof of the resurrection. There's no other object, fabric, but when he was crucified and they took him into the tomb. They laid him on this cloth. And I never fully realized just what how the cloth was, how the things worked in those days. But what they would do is they would lay the cloth down on the tomb, and then they would take the body and they would lay it on the cloth. And it was one long piece of linen, and they would take it and they would wrap the cloth over the head and down to the feet. So actually, you just had this one long piece of linen that was used to cover the body. And according to the Gospels, the Romans put the stone over the entrance to the tomb. Tomb was owned by Joseph of Arimathea. And when the women came to cleanse the body, the tomb was open, and everybody thought that someone had stolen the body of Jesus. But the only thing that remained was this linen cloth. Now, I don't know who took the cloth, what they did with it, but my guess is one of the women, and it was Mother Mary, Mary Magdalene, a couple others that were in the group that went to the tomb. My guess is that one of the two Marys probably took the cloth, because they would have thought that this was the last object of memory that they would have of Jesus. But I'm sure they took it back to the rest of the disciples. But that cloth, the image on it, was that of the body of the deceased Jesus. And I mean, for thousands of years, people have guarded the cloth, hid it. And then in the 14th century, it becomes public knowledge, and the church takes it, and they make this cloth the shrine. And it was the only object that God, I mean, it's amazing that God actually leaves us an object of proof. Now, it took thousands of years to prove that it was a proof, piece of proof. But modern technologies, scientific methods exist today where they can physically date it. And I mean, I had seen dating tests that everybody thought this thing was fake. And in the beginning, I thought it was fake as well. I mean, how could something like this ever take place? That you would have an image transferred to linen. I mean, I could never comprehend it. I knew that it was proven that there was no way that it was painted on. Technologies of the time certainly didn't allow any transfer technique from his body. I mean, you could have some blood stains and so forth, but that would be about the extent of what you would see on the ordinary piece of burial cloth. But you would never ever see an image like this. It appears that through the years there were repairs done to it on the edges of the cloth. And I think that's where the original dating was taken, where they tried to originally date this thing. I had read earlier that it was dated, these earlier tests showed it to be about 1000 AD. And that apparently that's when they repaired it. And unknowingly, that's where they took the sample for dating. But recently, they allowed in-depth testing, scientific testing of the shroud. I think they gave them, like, the scientists, like 2 weeks to do non-destructive testing. And it's amazing what they come up with at this point. Because now they take it, and the modern testing from the center corresponds to the time of the crucifixion. Jesus was probably crucified in 30 AD, 30, 31. And the modern testing techniques show that it is within that period of time, but very close to the third decade since they decided to keep track. And but the now they have dating of this thing. Then they go ahead, and when they look closely at it, they could see the details of what the image is on them. They can see the portion where the back of the body is laid on the cloth. They have blood stains there. They have blood stains in the ankle area, on the hand, where the hands cross, on the lower chest. Everyone says that at the after he passes, one of the soldiers takes his spear and makes sure that he's dead by pushing the spear in through below the rib cage. You can actually see blood stains in that area. And they come in and they find pollen stains. If you look closely at his head, they think that you can actually see the thorns that were placed on it, on the image of the cloth. in that area, they find pollen. And the pollen indicates that it's April and spring of the year when this takes place. So, I mean, the details now that are coming out about this are absolutely amazing. One of the scientists, a physicist that was allowed to look at the linen when he was doing this close investigation, his name's Andrew Silverman. And he was not a believer when he does this test. So here's a guy that's is to be convinced. He winds up writing a book called A Burst of Conscious Light. And if anybody out there has any interest in the Shroud, they need to get this book on Amazon and read it. Because he actually goes in, he analyzes the image and what it takes to make this image. And it's an infrared image. It can only be done by the transference of incredibly high amounts of energy. And he actually computes, and I gotta read this because it's such a big number. But he actually computes the energy that it takes to transfer this image onto the surface of the linen. And he figures that it would require 34,000 billion watt laser source to transfer this image the way it was transferred. We don't have the capability of doing anything close to this today. So, what actually must have happened at the resurrection is the body of Jesus had to be changed into light. And that type of energy is what was required to do it. Because when Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene, who was the first appearance after the resurrection, he says to her, "Do not touch me, for I am light." Because he still had not made the transference back from light to solid body form at that point. So even what he says to Mary Magdalene, and we've channeled Mary Magdalene many times, and that is what he said to her. And she did not touch the body, or Jesus in his first appearance. But after the first appearance, when he goes to Thomas, he's now in full body because he allows Thomas to touch the wounds. So you see this actual transition as it takes place after he has this incredible amount of energy that only God can have, transfers into light, and then slowly comes back through his different appearances. So it's a phenomenal story. But now that you can tie this thing together scientifically, anybody that wants to open their mind and think about it, they can now understand what truly took place. But in my mind, it's so amazing that God made this cloth, knowing that 2,000 years from the time this event takes place, there will be technologies that can actually prove beyond any doubt the fact that Jesus died, was crucified, and resurrected from the dead. So, I mean, I never understood all this until I started really getting involved and was able to talk to this. I've been able to talk to all the spirits that observed all this stuff. So it throws a different light on it. But this recent scientific work is just beyond the pale.
Yes. And now I guess the Turin, as far as I know, is still in Turin because they built a chapel, basically designed the chapel to just house the shroud. And that is a very religious symbol. And I would probably go as far as also calling it a spiritual symbol. because those two will overlap very, very nicely in this instant. And the fact that a body that is turned into light can deposit an image on a cloth, I have no problem with that, because I think there's some science behind that it can happen that way. And that's what I guess that scientist talks about in his book.
Yeah, no, he proves it can happen and did. And then, but even goes to the extent to figure out how much energy would be required to pull this thing off. And it's phenomenal. I mean, in the book he states that the burst of light with that much energy would instantaneously had be very close to the light of the sun. So it's something that's I mean, it's I can't comprehend it with my feeble mind, but I know there's people out there that can. But it's just an amazing fact. But the importance of the shroud is just exponentially increased for Christians because now you have absolute proof of it.
And then we have the naysayers.
Well, you always will.
Yeah, they're always going to be there. And in a lot of cases, they do some good things because they make us think.
That's true.
When someone would tell, nah, it's not that way. Okay, what did he see that I don't see? It makes us think and go deeper into our research if we do it right, and we find more truth. Once in a while, we find out that the naysayer was right. But in this case, I don't know. There's something on that shroud that cannot be explained away.
Well, the answer is obvious. Take the doubter and say, go do it. Duplicate it for me. And there's no way, because even today we don't have the technologies to do it.
So in this case, there's a modern term. I don't know if they used it back then, but he ascended. And in that ascension, something happened that Newtonian physics cannot explain. But there is some science behind that too. And the ascension process was established and proven, because in about 30 years ago, the Catholic Church heard the rumors that there were people over in India and Tibet that they ascended. So they sent a Catholic priest over there to verify this. And his name was Father Tiso. Nori and I interviewed him about 3 years ago on the broadcast team Alpha. And he said he went there. It took him almost a year to find the right place where these things actually happen, but he said he saw it. And he has pictures on his website of bodies that is almost entirely disappeared. And he also said that in some cases, they just turned into a ball of light and disappeared. Now, when he came back and told the Catholic Church about that, knowing what the Catholic Church is, they didn't talk much about that.
You can bet on
Yeah,
that.
because there's only one guy that have done that. So, but this is something that is done. But these are very spiritual people that understands the universe, they understand the environment, they understand who they are, and they are ascending. It has been proven. You can go to his website, which you can find by going to Broadcast Team Alpha on YouTube, and then you can scroll down until you find Father Tiso and watch the show. You're going to see some interesting things there. But what I would say, there's always going to be naysayers and atheists that say, yeah, it can't be right because he never existed, right? Well,
Yeah.
there's a problem there too, because there's enough written about this Yahshua Beth Halachme, which was Jesus's Hebrew name, in the surviving Roman records. Pliny the Elder talk about him, and there is evidence that this guy existed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's when you take a close look at the shroud itself, the images are it lines up very nicely
Yes.
with what they all tell us.
And on top of that, you are a channel.
Yes.
And you are channeling Joshua.
Yes.
Tell us about that. What has he said anything about the shroud, or tell us about this?
Well, why don't we do it like this? Why don't we let him tell you?
Hey, I'm all ears.
Augie, I would like to thank you for doing this show. I have watched your work, and I know that you are not only a true believer, but a light worker that carries the news to others. Yes, there was a linen shroud that was placed under and over me when they put me in the tomb. I knew there would be a time that individuals would require proof. I knew the future of humans was going to be such that there would be a moment that individuals would be able to understand the true miracle of my resurrection. You see, it took thousands of years for individuals to advance to the point that they could understand just how powerful and potent my energies really are. None could understand and comprehend this through through earlier times. I brought together some of the best scientists to study the linen that covered my body. Because it is now very important that humans understand just exactly what took place. There are many that doubt that I ever truly existed, but now you know and have proof. There will still be many that will not listen, but there will be those that do now. I did what no one else could do. The manner in which I converted myself to light and returned from that image of light so that others could see and understand and record what actually took place. So, yes, there is no doubt. The shroud was what covered my body in death. Today it is proof of my resurrection. So you see, as your technologies improve and increase, they can truly be used for good. So I thank you very much for all of your work and for what you've done. And I thought it would be quite appropriate that I brought a few words to you. So thank you, Augie, for all that you do. And thank you for working with Barry. So goodbye. I hope that this small surprise will help lead you on in your work.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
Well, there was a surprise for both of us.
Well, I guess he's still around.
Well, he is that. We talk to him every Wednesday on our podcast, A Weekly Message from
Yeah.
Jesus.
Speaking of that, let us know where people can go and listen to that podcast.
The easiest is just to I've started doing it on YouTube Live now. So the easiest is just to go onto YouTube and listen to it there. It's on our Facebook groups, but Facebook. But the easiest way is we do it at 9 a.m. on Wednesdays, Mountain Time, and it lasts. He brings us about a 20-minute message every week, and we've been doing it now. We have about 160 of them up on our YouTube site, and
So,
the messages are incredible. And if you really focus, you'll feel the energies. The energies are very real when he does it.
okay, good. Yeah, so go to YouTube and put your name in there, and then we'll bring them up. Okay.
Barry Stone, Stohm.
That's good.
But that's probably the easiest way to do it.
This is a rumor, but I kind of wanted to say it anyway, and that is that there is a rumor that's floating around in Europe, and I remember decades ago I heard this. There were people that had worked with the shroud. They had an illness, but when they touched it, the illness went away. Have you heard anything like that?
I had heard that. I can't prove it. But I can tell you, having had a healing miracle done to me when I had a heart attack, that it's can be instantaneous. I mean, and if any object would ever have the energy of God within it, it would be that shroud. So I have absolutely no trouble believing that.
Yeah, this was just rumors, and we gotta say that, but there's kind of a likelihood, I would think, that there could be some residual effects embedded in the atomic structure of the shroud or the things on the shroud that could, would someone interact with it through mine, it may possibly be released so that he could have or she could have a healing effect from it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. No, when I had that heart attack, I was waiting to go into surgery. And I saw this angel. I had my eyes closed and I saw this angel come up and stop right in front of my face. And then I went into surgery and they couldn't find any heart damage. And they had shown it to me on the monitors before they tried to rush me into this surgery. Doctors were astounded, but when that angel was there, that was the sign that you might as well not take him in. He's all right now. So they spent over 2 hours trying to prove it, but
Well,
I came out with a healthy heart.
it wasn't your time, was it?
No. When he wants me, he knows how to find me.
Yeah, I am sure of that, but well, you're not done yet.
No, I mean, I do little things like this, so little surprises where he wants to talk to somebody.
And I would say the message that you give and you transmit and you tell people, it makes their life better and gives them hope and it helps people in many different ways. So don't
Oh,
quit.
I'm gonna try to keep it up, but it can be very discouraging because people just simply don't want to believe. They think they're immortal and their time of mortality comes, and then they wish they had believed. Because, I mean, if you listen to we channel with him, I mean, we've been doing this now for 10 years, so I'm not even sure how many spirits we've talked to, but I mean, 1,000 hours wouldn't cover it at this point. But when you look at how what takes place when some of these very intelligent people die, I mean, Steve Jobs, his last words were, "Oh wow, oh wow, oh wow," as he sees heaven open before his eyes. Einstein, when he dies, he utters words in German and nobody was there that could translate or even repeat the words. So we asked him what his words meant the other day. And he says, this cannot be happening like this. Because he didn't believe.
Yeah.
Because he had proven in his own mind that God could not exist under his own, under his rules. But guess what? He can change, God can change his rules whenever he wants to change them.
Well, I tell you though, towards his end of life with the, you know, Albert Einstein, I think he saw, I'm using the term loosely, I think he saw the light, because he made a statement one time. And I think I can actually recite this. He said, I have studied the universe more than most. And I have found that the whole universe is made from the vibration of love. He did make that statement. And that was less than a year before he died. So he was coming around to the fact that there is something here that we don't understand, that he was open to it.
Yes. Yeah, sadly, these guys that, I mean, Stephen Hawking, he didn't come around until the final moments either.
Yeah.
But, well,
they seem to come around, don't they?
They have no choice. When those eyes close for the last time, what
yeah.
you see is not what you want. The image that you now have is not the one that you had when you closed your eyes. It
yeah.
was, it all changes.
When you are channeling these people that has already walked across the through the door into another reality like this, do they say anything about what people can expect once they close their eyes the last time?
Yes, but it's different for everyone.
Yeah.
Basically, the basics are you will probably see, you will have an angel there to help you. You'll see your deceased family members. Many of them do see this tunnel way with light in front of it. But there's always light. Light is always the key.
Yeah.
Because that is the end of the darkness. You see the light of God in front of you one way or another. Many of them tell you that they will try to make the image what that person is expecting. Because the time of passing can be very difficult for an individual, especially one that doesn't believe.
Yeah.
But they'll still try to make them as comfortable as they can. We've done a lot of channelings with the Archangel Azrael, and his role is actually to help people at time of passing. People, maybe if they're in comas or something, they'll help actually get in communication with the souls before passing. But they're, the spirits on the other side want to make that time the greatest day of your life. Humans think of death as the worst day of your life. But it's not, because it is day one of a new life cycle. They take you over to heaven. Your guides will be there. They'll tell you what you did right, what you did wrong. If you lead a good life, then you can maybe advance in the realms. If you led a good life, they'll tell you that you've created a good karma for the next lifetime, and the next life will be better for you. If you create a bad karma, and one of the worst karmas is the people that make great wealth and don't use it to help others, because their life plans included blessings that help them make that wealth. Because the whole intent of you having this great wealth is to help others with it. And that is your test. If you use your free will not to help others with that money, then the next time you've created a karma for your future lives where you come back in poverty.
Yeah, you're going to be like Job.
Yeah, now you're on the other side and you'll understand what it's like to
Yeah.
need that help and not get it. So it's all the yin and the yang, the good karma and the bad karma.
Yeah.
But everything that you do has implications. I mean, the fact that you work so hard at trying to pass on the word as well, that will have great implications when you come back in the next time.
Yeah, and that's what happened to a lot of people, and that's some of the first things they will see. And then when they get through the tunnel, then maybe, you come there with amnesia too, so you need a little education process to
Oh,
get
yeah.
back.
Yeah.
But what about the people, or should I say the disembodied entities, that is just, they're total atheists. They say, when I die, there is nothing. There ain't nothing.
Well,
And then they die and they say, holy moly, was I wrong? Now what do I do? Are those the guys that end up being ghosts that don't know what to do and is just floating around? And
yeah, sometimes they're afraid to move on. I mean, they die and they don't accept it. And to even complicate it a little more for you, there's a whole channel of the unknowing dead where people, they're on the other side and they don't even know they died because they just simply don't accept it or move on. That's how we can speak with the ghosts of soldiers. I've challenged Civil War soldiers that never knew they died in the exact same place they were 150 years earlier.
That's a tough one. How they could be confused like that for hundreds of years because time doesn't work the same way there.
Right, there's no time. So there's nothing critical about it. Just if you want to stay there for a couple hundred years and hang out with your buddies, go for it. Well, yeah, another quick story. I was a Civil War soldier in my prior life, and I fought at Gettysburg. And I could actually go out and speak with the soldiers that I fought with out there that were in my unit. I mean, I would take a ghost box out and turn it on so that you could hear their voices. I took people out. One time I had three or four people with me. I go up. They showed me the exact spot that I fought with, what my unit was. I was a Confederate captain. And I went up to this spot, turned the ghost box on, and I said, "Guys, do you recognize me?" And over the ghost box, everybody hears this voice come over, and it goes, "Yes, sir, Captain." And then he goes, "You better keep your head down. The damn Yankees are still shooting at us." And so I'm actually having a conversation with the guys that I fought with 100 years earlier in that prior life. And I mean, it sounds like it's crazy, but that's the way it works. And I said to him, I said, "Why don't you guys move on?" And he said, "Because those damn Yankees won't go." So they're still shooting at each other, just like they were before. Just the bullets don't hurt quite as much, I guess. I don't know.
I have seen pictures of people that have been right in that area where you talk about it, and you can see in the picture, you can see soldiers walking with a gun on their back, and you can see through them. So there is something there that does not go away.
It's just another dimension. It's like a quasi dimension before you move into the heaven dimension. Now, I have a picture that I took on the battlefield, and it's an angel picking a soldier up off the battlefield. And you can actually see the form of this soldier in the angel's hands. And I think this is how they finally say, "Okay, dude, time for you to move on.
Yeah,
Here's
take
your
him.
help." Yeah. But no, I actually have that photographed, so it's crazy.
Wow, that is really something. And
The whole thing's pretty is really something.
yeah. Oh, I almost forgot. We have some pictures.
Yeah, we
Well,
got science.
you have some pictures and you sent them to me. And can I share screen and we'll show you the pictures?
Yeah,
And
the image of his face on there is absolutely amazing.
yeah, let me share screen and then we will talk about these pictures of the shroud.
Okay. Yeah, we got them all at once there.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
All right. And here we go. I'm going to bring up the first one.
Okay.
Here is three pictures. One on the left is actually an enhanced picture of what is on the shroud, and maybe you could talk about this a little bit.
Yeah, what they did is they computerized it. And if you look at the top of his head, you can actually see the traces of the thorns that were put on his head. And then they take the computer and they start working on the image. And they come up with what he looked like at time of passing. The one that's on the far side of the screen where he has the brown beard. And amazingly, if you look real close, you'll see he has blue eyes in this image. Now, how they came up with blue eyes, I'm not going to be the one, I don't know. But I do know that we did channel and we asked what he looked like. And they all tell us he had these amazing blue eyes. So when you looked at him, it was just beyond belief what his eyes looked like. But that's what the computer says he looks like.
Let me say something about that. There is kind of an appendix, or there's a small writing coming out of the Qumran tablet scrolls, the Qumran scrolls, and they talk about the Masihiya, what he looked like. That was released, or maybe just leaked or stolen from the Jews before they all locked it down. And they don't see there's about half of what is in the scrolls coming out of Qumran that is classified by the Israeli government. They won't let you see it. Why? Yeah, I think I know why. Because it doesn't agree with what they're saying in their religion. But what they talk about in that little clip that come from the scrolls there is that Messiah was tall, he was strong, his hair was the color of the ripe field of grass, and his eyes was as the midnight and the midday sky. They didn't name colors so much back then. They
Sure.
used the comparisons. So he was blonde and he had blue eyes. Now, that could mean that he was an Israelite and not a Jew. There's a big difference between those two concepts. So I am okay with this. You got more pictures here. Let me go
Yeah,
back.
pull that second one up.
Yeah, here's another one.
Yeah, now if you see the computerized picture with his eyes and everything looking at you on the one side. But if you
Yeah.
look at the image that with the whiter outfit cloth that he has on, that was painted by a Cain Kramaric when she was 8 years old.
Wow.
She had had an image and a experience with Jesus where she actually talked to him. And then she was very, very talented artist. So she paints this image at the age of 8 or 9 years old of him. And this is what she saw when she talked to him, what he looked like. So when you put the two images together, look at the similarities of them. the eyes, the hair. But it's I what caught me was the nose, the shape of his nose.
Yeah, that's the same.
But these two images were actually generated 2,000 years apart. One of them's taken from the shroud, and the other one is taken from what her memory of what he looked like when she had her interaction with him.
So the left one is the shroud.
Yeah, that's the shroud image. And the other one's the one she painted from memory.
Okay, let's go to another picture. There is, I think this is the, is that the same one?
Yeah, that's a computerized image of the shroud.
All right. Now here we go to the shroud.
Yeah, that's the shroud itself. Now, this is the portion of the cloth that covered the front of his body. If you look at the center of it, you'll see his hands are crossed, and look at his wrist, and you'll see a blood mark. Yeah, right in there.
Right
That's,
there.
yeah, that's blood. And you can see that there's something on top of his head. That was still the thorns that were there. And you can see a mark on his chest. It's a little hard, but it's at the top of his body. But see the blood splotch? Yeah,
I mean here.
right in there. That's where they would have stuck the sword or the spear to make sure that he was dead under his rib cage. But that is the front of the shroud.
And these four markings here are just the folding spots, probably, or
Yeah,
what is it?
I think that's it looks like there was some blood in those spots as well. But yeah, I think that's just where they folded the cloth and kept it through the years.
Let me go back one more time. There is another picture here, and that is
That's
also the
yeah,
shroud.
right. That is it in its entirety. You can see on the left side where it covered, well, it covered his back, and you can see that there's blood marks almost over his whole back where they beat him, and then they would have folded it over his head, and then you see the image of his front. But that's what the shroud looked like in its entirety.
Follow me a little bit here. I'm
Okay.
going to put the cursor on his head. This is
Correct.
the head.
Right.
Here's the shoulders coming out, and here's his arms
Correct.
going towards the middle
Yep.
of the middle left of the picture.
Uh-huh.
And then you have his legs going down further.
Yep.
And I'm sorry, folks, if you are listening to this where you'd have no video image, you need to go to YouTube and have a look at it because that's very well explained what the pictures look like.
Yes. And then the other side is that's him, that's his back. That's all the blood, the marks from the beating that he took where they whipped him. And
And then the legs going out on the right side are going off the cloth, look like, but
yeah, but
it
if you look right at the edge where that little appears to be lighter, you'll see those are two blood marks where they put the nails
yeah
through his ankles there. Correct.
yeah and here's the legs, and then the body gets wider, and he's got the head hair again.
Yeah.
See, this head on the left was folded over, so it shows up here on the right also.
Yep. Yep,
That,
there's
yeah,
one piece of cloth.
that little open spot in the middle is just the very top of the head.
Yes, correct.
Okay, then there is one picture.
Yeah, that's a little girl that painted the image of him from memory. That's how old she was when she painted that thing.
I'm puzzled. Here, the hairdo is different. He didn't have long hair.
Well, he would appear any way he wanted to at that point. He's in a, Generally, people say that when you're in heaven and you appear to another spirit in heaven, you're generally as you would be at like the mid-30s of age for your appearance. I mean, people see their grandfather and they don't recognize him because he's young. So it's, there's no fixed image. But what you got to focus on is the similarity of the face. That's where the eyes, I mean, even how she paints the eyes, how intense they are, and the comparison.
Well, she's a good painter.
She's been fantastic.
Yeah.
She's
And
in her 30s now.
just the fact that he changed his image from what he looked like, let's say at the age of 32, 34, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that too, because I have my mom ever so often visit me. Usually on my birthday, which comes up in a few days. And she looks like she is in her 45 to 50. That's when she was most in her power, I think. So that's, she didn't look 90 as she was when she died. She
No.
looks like she's about 45, 50, as I remember.
Yep, that's when you see them, they all look much younger and in their prime.
That's incredible.
Pretty much. God knew what he was doing. There's no doubt about that. But imagine that he leaves this evidence, and it's going to take over 2,000 years before humans are able to comprehend what he's left behind for them.
While you had Joshua on the phone there, I forgot to ask him something, but maybe there's another. Because in the Bible, in John's, it says, ye are gods. And in Psalms 70 something, it says, the kingdom of heaven is within you, not above you. It says, within you.
It's all around you and in you.
And we are part of this concept called God. That doesn't mean that we are the ultimate, but we are part of it.
Yes, that's what when he talks about that we all have this spark of energy within us of God. That's exactly what you're talking about. Just different ways of phrasing it.
In fact, there's a book. It's called The Jesus Papers. That's the title of the book. You can find it on Amazon. I have it on the shelf. In there was a guy in Jerusalem. He was digging a basement underneath his house, and he came onto this wooden chest. In there was several scrolls. One of them was a paper written by Joshua ben Chachmeh, Jesus, in his defense against the court where Pontius Pilatus, which is the Roman name for him, they were prosecuting him. They were not even prosecuting, they were just charging and then deciding. So in there, he says, clearly, I am only a man with the spirit of God within me.
Yes, he was God incarnate. So the
Yes.
Spirit of God was within
Yeah, so
him.
that's an interesting book for you guys to another confirmation that yes, he was real.
Oh yeah. No, there's a, I mean, there, to me, I it utterly amazes me that anybody cannot believe. I mean, maybe I'm a little biased here, but
Well, you're probably a little biased because you talked to
yeah, pretty much.
him.
And anybody that's listening, when you feel his energy, it's amazing. Truly amazing.
Then I would suggest go to YouTube, put Barry Strom in the search bar, bring up some of it, and sit through a few of them and feel the energy coming through. I've done that, and it gives you kind of an incredible feeling when you are done. Just like it did for me when you now channeled Yahshua when he was talking to me.
Oh, he was talking to you.
Yeah, so well, I guess I should say something about that, but I'm losing words.
Now, people don't understand what it's truly like when
Yeah.
you believe 100%. Not 99.9, but when you 100% believe and those energies come to you, it's phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
And then we have people saying that, yeah, sure, channeling, that's bull pucky. Well, there is even a religious comparison to speaking in tongues. That cannot be denied. That happens. It's on recordings, hundreds of recordings of those things. And it happens.
When I did it, we did a show with Gandhi,
Oh.
and he had me do all of his answers with an Indian accent,
Oh.
and I can't do accents. When we did Billy the Kid, I did it with a Western accent for him, and it's no, those are their words. I mean, they completely take it over. Quite often, I don't remember. Like right now, I couldn't tell you what he said to you
Yeah.
because I'm just simply speaking and I'm not remembering.
Yeah, Oshawa's main language was Aramaic.
Yes.
So that's kind of an abolished language. They don't use it anymore, but it is said to be very colorful, full of colorful words and expressions of things in nature.
Well, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Well,
So, gosh,
absolutely.
we're coming down towards the end of the show here, but I've really enjoyed doing this with you. This was great.
Yeah, we got quite a message here from
Yeah. Yeah, this was good. And I like to do something like this again with you sometime. And
whatever. You pick a date.
yeah, we'll do that. So, any last words from you? What is your next big thing that is coming up? Anything that you want to talk about?
Well, just everything winds up on our YouTube channel. So I'm trying to just keep things simple. We're probably going to do another YouTube. We're going to work on a YouTube live show and we're going to call it Hello Heaven.
Oh.
And it's going to be just telling you all about heaven. And we're going to take recorded phone calls on it, visual calls, and just have people call in, ask questions, and we'll channel the answers for them. We'll see how it works. If anybody's interested in it, then we'll keep doing it.
Yeah, that sounds good.
So that's our
So,
next project.
yeah, so go to YouTube, put Barry Strom in the search bar, and listen to some of the recordings.
If
You're
you're having
gonna,
a bad day, it can help.
yeah, there you go.
It's especially with all the crap going on around the world today, sometimes you just got to listen and
Yeah.
let Jesus tell you how to handle it.
There you go. Okay, well, thank you very much for being with us, and until next time, we will
Okay.
do this again. And until next time, be good to each other.